Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. It's Election Day. The candidates are getting in place to watch the results. Kamala Harris will be at her alma mater, Howard University, after a visit to the DNC in Washington.
Madam President!
Donald Trump is in Florida, where he said the possible long wait for results is outrageous.
It should never happen. A thing like that should never happen. This election should be over. They spend all this money on machines. And frankly, if they'd use paper ballots, it would be over by 10 o'clock.
But the race is so close in some states like Pennsylvania. Correspondent Weijia Jiang is at a polling station in Philadelphia.
There's a lot of anxiety, excitement about what's going to happen. But I did talk to some Trump supporters as well as some Harris supporters. So it is going to be very close in this critical battleground state.
Pennsylvania is one of seven closely watched states. CBS News Special Report. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Governor and vice presidential candidate Tim Walz made a stop in Stevens Point yesterday. He spoke in the Laird Room at the Dreyfus Center on UWSP to a crowd of around 200 people. He said the Harris-Walz campaign believes all Americans deserve to have a chance at a good life.
If you work hard, you don't just barely skate by, you get a chance to get ahead. Doesn't matter if you're a red state, doesn't matter if you're a blue state, doesn't matter if you're a big city, if you're a small town, everybody in this country should get a shot to succeed. That's what she's talking about. Yes, sir.
Governor Walz encouraged everyone to get out and vote on Tuesday.
We're going to get the chance over the next 24 hours to shape this planet for generations to come in a positive way, in a way that unifies us, in a way that believes in our neighbors, in contrast to the darkness and the madness that is being put on the other side.
Polls are open today from 7 a.m. till 8 p.m. Be sure to bring a photo ID to your polling place. If you're not registered, you can still do so same day at the polls. Head to civicmedia.us/vote for links to voter information. November's DOT Law of the Month highlights Wisconsin's Move Over Law. The Move Over Law is a reminder for drivers to brake for roadside workers. It's our responsibility to protect those who work on the side of the road. This provides a safety zone for law enforcement, emergency responders, and maintenance vehicles stopped alongside the road with their emergency lights on. Over the past 5 years, 60 emergency responders were struck and injured by a vehicle while working on the side of the road in Wisconsin. The Central Wisconsin Cultural Center in Wisconsin Rapids has their holiday gifts and art fair opening night this Thursday. It's free admission on November 7th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers make a trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NFL trade deadline was today, and the Packers send Preston Smith to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a 7th-round pick. The Steelers will also pick up the tab on Smith's salary. The veteran linebacker, who's had his role reduced this season in Green Bay, turns 32 later this month. College basketball, the Wisconsin men's basketball team opened up their season last night with an 85-61 win over Holy Cross in Madison. Head coach Greg Gard asked if he's determined who his starting five are going to be.
That was my main message to him tonight. As we go on this journey over the next five and a half months, we have to be together because it's going to be different people on different nights. Who starts, in my mind, I've never talked about it and made a big deal of who is starting. Everybody knows they need to be ready.
NBA, the Bucks battled but let it slip away in the final minute, losing in Cleveland 116-114. The Bucks host the Utah Jazz on Thursday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Badgers.
Sees Max, makes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Fade.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
A dreary and soggy day today, with scattered showers and even a thunderstorm possible this afternoon. With the potential to become severe, we could see some gusty winds and a brief spin-up. Otherwise today, expect patchy fog, highs near 60, and breezy winds. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School. This is the last poll before we will go to the polls.
In the presidential race, we have it at a 1-point Harris lead, 48-47, with 5% undecided. And how those people make up their minds, who to vote for or if to vote, that's easily enough to sway this race.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
He is a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy, one of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabe, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish. Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll look back at the vote totals, give you updates, and have our news team from around the state join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, November 5th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At part two today at 4:30, we're going to talk with our friend Tracy from the Southland County YMCA. Looking forward to that, and a big thank you to Tri-City Services, sponsoring that segment. Right now, we have with us on the phone a legend here in Wisconsin Rapids, a legend here at WFHR, helping us celebrate WFHR's 84th anniversary, longtime sports director, broadcaster, co-host, marketing, one of the best beards in WFHR. HR history. Mr. Terry Steak is with us. Hello, sir.
Hello there, James. How are you doing?
Doing all right.
Glad to talk to the people of Wisconsin Rapids again. I don't get there very often. So.
And we miss you around here, Terry. It's part of the reason why I really appreciate Pam reaching out and you guys being able to work this out and you being able to join us. How have you been?
Well, I've been okay. I don't know if the people know, but I have MS, so I don't walk very good anymore. But other than that, I'm going along pretty good. Still get to do a few things. Life is good. I'm living in the Northwoods where there's lots of lakes and deer and squirrels. So I'm happy.
Good to hear. Very good to hear. And appreciate you sharing that, Terry. Thank you for that. And I know you're still keeping pretty active in when it comes to sports and everything, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I spent 42 years in sports, so it's hard. It's hard to get away. I mean, I'm not doing anything anymore as far as the broadcast industry is concerned, but I follow everything very closely. Able to go fishing, and with help, I go deer hunting. But that's about it. That's about my activities now.
Hey, that sounds like pretty good. That sounds like a good set of activities. We're here to talk about WFHR and the history of it in local radio, but I'd be remiss if I didn't have one of my favorite voices in WFHR history and one of my favorite sports personalities to talk to about, commentating today, Terry. When you're watching a game, whether it's baseball, football, anything like that, commentating has changed a bit, but it's also kind of very similar to what it used to be. Is that the way you see it?
As far as sports is concerned?
Yeah, just sports commentary.
I think so, yes.
Calling a game and everything. Yeah.
Calling a game, yep. It's hard to change calling the game. I think, as far as radio is concerned, TV has changed. I think they talk too much on TV. But radio, you got to paint a picture. And I always thought that was a great art for any sportscaster that ever did it, was to paint a picture of what it's like to the people that can't see the football matriculating down the field, or a line drive, or a 3-point basketball shot. I listen to some people up here, and there's a few good ones, and there's a few that need a lot of work. But I probably needed a lot of work, too.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm still working on that. I'm still a work in progress. What were your first – tell us a little bit about your first days here at WFHR, Terry. What were that like? How'd you get hired, all of that?
Okay. Well, I started in 1968. They needed a part-time announcer that would work weekends, and I did – 2 hours in the afternoon. I think it was 4 to 6. I can't quite remember the times. And at that time, you had to have a first-class broadcast license to work in the evening. So the station sent me to school to get one, and I did. And then I worked evenings. We played country music. Back in those days, we used to sign off at 11 o'clock. And that was, and we always played the national anthem as we signed off. And when we first started, what was our FM station then was WWRW, and that simulcast with WFHR until I think it was 11 in the morning, till Coffee Clutch, or through Coffee Clutch and the Trading Post at that point. Mm-hmm. And then it went, they played music, and WFHR, I guess, played music. Two, we were all live. We didn't have any tape. There was, other than a Sunday night, there was a Jack Raymond show. Other than that, there was a live announcer doing live stuff, not most of it like it is now automated. Hmm. Our staff was much bigger. We probably had four or five salesmen. We had two or three. We had three copywriters. We had three, and they were the people that wrote commercials. We had three newsmen, five full-time announcers, and a part-time, and then I became one of the full-time. And see, what else did we have that's different now? We had a program director, like I'm sure you are, or station, and then a station manager, and then a general manager. So we had, the staff was tremendously bigger than mm-hmm. it is now, even when I left.
Yeah. I remember some of those later, the last of those days and stuff. Even with all those people and the staff we had and what you were hired for, you've done so many jobs in radio over the years. Like many people in radio, you get in and you get hired for this, but you end up wearing a lot of hats. What were some of the other things that you started to do in broadcasting as far as outside of sports?
Well, that was the first 3 years were out of sports. I just did a evening show, and then myself, Bill Nobles, and a guy named Bob Reinhardt, we switched where we worked every weekend. We worked Saturday afternoon and Sunday morning, I think it was, if I remember correctly. And then we had two weekends off, then we worked a weekend. Then after about 3 years, I was trying to get our former general manager, who's no longer with us, but you know his son, Jack Gennaro, was. I tried to get him to let me broadcast sports, and he was adamantly against it. And I kept working on him, and I finally wore him down. After that, I became the sportscaster, and we were doing pretty darn well at that. And so that it just carried on and lasted until I left.
For so many, sorry, go ahead, Derek.
No, that's fine.
I was just going to say that. So for so many of us, we kind of, when we think of WFHR, we think of, you know, news, sports, these things. They're intertwined together, but it really wasn't that case early on. It was your presence, it was your work, along with many others, that really built a foundation to where now sports is an integral part of what we do here.
Yeah, I think that's right, because we did play-by-play. Bill Nobles did play-by-play of some sports, but we didn't do it like I did. I just kept bugging Mr. Gennaro and other people. And then when Miles Knutson came on as general manager, he was more for sports, so we kept increasing. I started broadcasting wrestling, which had never been done before anywhere, on a play-by-play basis. And the state tournament, now if you go to the state wrestling tournament, there's probably, 30 radio stations mm-hmm. at the state individual tournament and then state team. And there's probably a radio station for every team that's down there on a play-by-play basis. So I started that, and then I moved into hockey, which I really didn't know a whole lot about, but I think I got better at as the years went on. But, we did just about every major high school sport, which we had not done for many years before that.
Which is, you know, certainly the revenue aspect of that is huge for radio, huge for anything. But certainly the mission of WFHR as well, of covering local news and sports is a part of that. Giving a chance for these high school kids and for their parents to hear their names on the air and some of that. That's such an integral part of local radio now. And it's cool to hear kind of the beginnings of that. And especially when you mentioned that about wrestling, Terry, when you're if you haven't broadcasted before, you haven't called a game before, in most sports you have somebody to look to. Okay, Vin Scully called a game this way in baseball. You know, Madden called a game in football this way. But with wrestling, as you mentioned, you didn't have any kind of like blueprint. Didn't really have an outline. How did that go? You know, in real time, trying to figure out how to give that, as you said, paint a picture for that.
Well, shaky at the beginning.
That's a good way to put it.
I didn't know much more about wrestling than the people listening to me. I used to go to practice for a few, not every night, but maybe once or twice a week. I would go to Lincoln High School's practice, and that was in the old Lincoln High School on the stage, and I would listen to what they're trying to do. So I did that. And I think anytime you broadcast any sport, you need to be more than just show up at the game. You've got to go through some background. I went to football practices. I became an official and knew the rules. I don't think every person has to be an official, but it wouldn't hurt you to know all the WIAA rules and what the major emphases are to this sport and that sport. I think that'll help you. But the guys that just show up and broadcast the game, unless they really played the game and really know the game, I think it's hard to describe, you know, like you said, paint a picture. Mm-hmm. And I probably didn't paint a real clear picture of wrestling at the beginning, but it was so popular that, you know, that sport, because we were state champion, mm-hmm. That, you know, people would listen to me. And right at the beginning, there was no team sport. So I got to learn it on an individual basis first before they started having team tournaments. And I knew it a little better. And I called, people used to say, what is that? I said, I probably made that up. You know, I tried to describe it. I learned something from a fellow by the name of Earl Gillespie. I don't know if you remember who Earl Gillespie was.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
For about 2 years, I got to spend time with Earl Gillespie on the Badger football broadcast because the great Arnie Strope had a heart problem. And he needed somebody to help carry and put out equipment. And he said, well, you want to go along on all the broadcasts? And I said, are you kidding me? You know? So the first broadcaster, too, I sat up by Arnie above the football broadcast. And then Mr. Gillespie called me down and said, why don't you sit here and be my spotter? And he, at the end, he'd give me $10 or something, which I didn't really need. But one of the things we were talking about before we went on the air is description of the game. And he told me one thing that I'll never forget. He says, never talk above your audience. In other words, don't use so many technical terms that grandma at home cannot understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different on television because you're seeing what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So my goal was to always make sure that grandma understood it and that the person that was a top-notch wrestler that knew every term of wrestling and what was going on could understand it. And so that was what I tried to do with every sport.
Those are really good notes, Terry, not just for young broadcasters out there, for those of us that have been doing it for a while to rehash, and just in any form of life, any job you're doing out there. I think that's really good notes with that. We're speaking with longtime sports director and WFHR legend Terry Stake right now, celebrating our 84th anniversary. Terry, I wanted to talk a little bit about other anniversaries. We've done a good job of celebrating our anniversaries over the years and decades here at WFHR. You've been a part of a lot of those. Including one that I watched. I watch it every year around this time, or at least try to watch some of it. The big musical piece that you got, not musical piece, but there was one that you guys did over at the library, and had a big video presentation for it. They play it on our public access sometimes. You've been a part of a lot of these anniversaries over the years. Any of them stand out to you?
Boy, that 50th, that's the same one that you're visiting about. You know, we wore tuxes, we went to the library, we had, you know, we went back to old-time radio is what we did.
Yeah.
you know, back in the 40s probably, or 50s, I remember, you know, there was we used to have a lady come in on, this was before my time now, but I mean, we put it on that thing, come in and play the piano in the morning. And do some things. That was before my time, but that's what we tried to do on that one. And I don't remember, you know, I'd have to go rewatch it like you, but we put on a production at the library, and then obviously it was filmed and went on the air and went, I suppose, like you say, public access has it. I wouldn't mind seeing it again if I could find it somewhere. But that one sticks out. Our 60th, we did... We brought in a car that was the year, an old car. And I remember I was the only one could drive it because I was the only one who knew how to drive a stick shift, being an old farm kid, you know. And I tried to teach Greg Gack how to drive it. We went out to the West Junior High parking lot and let him try to drive a stick shift.
Oh, what I would have given to see that.
But, well, there were some moments where I was getting a little nervous. We did run over a curb.
That's great.
And then we put out a cookbook.
Yeah.
And just ironically, somewhat, I live up here now in Lake Tomahawk, and I go to church in Monocma, which is not very far from here. And a lady that I knew in our church came up to me and brought the cookbook over and pointed to one of the people there. And she said, "Was that you?" And I said, "Yeah." So, I mean, there are a few people that know what I do. And there's quite a few people from Wisconsin Rapids that go to the same church I do. Mm. So, they know me from that, and they know what I did, so the people, other people in the church know what I did.
Yeah. But. Terry, when I was, when your name comes up in conversations over the years, or even recently, when it's come up and I'm telling people, oh, you're going to be on the air with us, and we're celebrating our 84th anniversary, almost every single person will bring up wrestling. You're very attached to that and that sport, and in part because of some of the stuff I think you were saying before and everything. But I'm curious for you, when you look back at your career, what are some of the things that stand out to you? What are some of the things that you're, whether you're proud of them or they're just moments that you remember very fondly? What are some of those memories you have?
Okay. You got 4 hours.
No. Yeah, right.
Well, as long as you mentioned wrestling, I think that because I started doing it, and at the time I started doing it, there was only one other radio station in the state that even broadcast the individual state wrestling tournament. So I kind of known for starting that. And, of course, it was easy to start because we were winning championship after championship after championship. And even the non-wrestling people would listen because their town is going for a state championship. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember that. That's a highlight. One of the lowlights, I think, was we went to the state soccer tournament, I think, 4 or 5 times. And I was not a good soccer broadcaster. And my kids both played soccer, at least on the little kids level, and my oldest son in high school. But I wasn't a big soccer fan, and I really didn't know how to describe it because it didn't have, you know, like football has yard lines, and basketball has the half court, and you got the red line and the blue line in hockey. But they're just running around in the field kicking the ball. I know there's strategy. I realize that, but I didn't know that strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So I took some people along to help me out because I really didn't know how, but I wanted the state high. When you're going for a state championship in anything, you want that on the air. Like you said, you want those kids' names on the air. I always said it's their day in the sun. Mm-hmm. I don't care if they're 22-1 or 1-22. It was still their day in the sun, and you got to make it as exciting for them as you possibly can. So.
Well, and it speaks to how much you cared about this job, to put yourself in situations where you weren't comfortable, but you were going to do it because you wanted to get it out there. That's what a reporter does. That speaks really highly of the work, I think. I really appreciate that backstory. That's interesting.
Well, I'll tell you where I wasn't comfortable. Mr. Gennaro sent me out to do a ski jump one time.
Huh.
And I went on a snowmobile or something. They got me up to there where the skiers landed, and they graded them or scored them.
Yeah.
So I'm up there and I'm trying to describe a guy taking off out of a ramp and landing on that snow. and that was probably a disaster. But I did that, but I was really uncomfortable there. Soccer wasn't so bad. At least I had somebody to help me out a little bit. Mm. I was thinking of another lowlight, or another probably the funniest instance, and it's in my book. I'm not going to make a big deal out of the book, but we were at Randy Paul and Dave Miller, and I were at Elmwood for a Port Edwards High School playoff game. And in the booth, there was not enough room for three people. So Randy and I were at the counter where we had our equipment and stat sheets and stuff like that on. And Dave was behind us with a microphone that Dave was keeping stats. Randy was behind with the microphone, mm-hmm. A long cord microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking around, and all of a sudden, there goes the equipment. There goes Dave Miller. Randy had pulled the cord all the way around their legs, and Dave went over backwards. And I grabbed the equipment before it fell on the floor, and we never missed a beat. We might have laughed a little bit, but we kept right on going.
That's amazing. I had not heard that one. That's fantastic. As we're wrapping up, Terry, I did want to mention your book. I encourage people to check it out and everything. People can they still get your book somewhere?
Sure. You'd have to contact me. Mm-hmm. I can give them my address and phone number. If you just contact me, or I'll even give them a discount now because it's been out for a while, and $20 autographed, and it's my address is 7106 Bass Lake Road, Lake Tomahawk, Wisconsin, and that's 54539. And my telephone number is 715-421-6567. Or they can contact Pam at the radio station, and she knows how to get a hold of me.
Yeah, yeah. You can give our front desk a call, 715-424-1300. Same number it's been for a long time.
Yeah.
Terry.
I'd just like to say, can I say something real quick?
Please, yeah.
Okay. I'd just like to thank a few people that helped me in my radio career tremendously. And obviously, one was the great Arnie Strope. I mean, he told me what to do. Scott McIntosh was another guy that really helped me out as far as broadcasting and timing commercials and doing all those kinds of things. Those two people, I think, and Jack Gennaro, obviously, for putting up with me, because I was a thorn in his side for a long time because I wanted to do sports and he didn't want to do sports. And when I finally retired, they had a quick retirement party for me, and he was there. And I still remember him. I gave him a little jab yet that we made a lot of money in sports despite him. But he supported me. But those three people, I think, stand out more. I had a lot of people that I worked with, you know, Chris and Nick and Greg and, you know, you. There were tons of people I worked with. But those three people really got me started in an industry that I never thought I was ever going to make it in. And I've actually made it now into the Broadcasters Legends Hall of Fame. So, that was the culmination of my career, I guess.
Yeah, and we're not here without people like you in your career, Terry. We're here celebrating 84 years thanks to people like you and trailblazers like you. We appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for the time. Be well. We'll talk again real soon, okay?
Thank you very much, James, and hi to everybody in Wisconsin Rapids.
We'll be talking to you again soon, Terry. You take care. Thank you for the time. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
The timing is historic. The launch of WFHR radio happened at the same time residents cast their votes in a pivotal presidential election. It was November 1940. Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune newspaper publisher William F. Huffman believed radio could provide live entertainment and information to the community. The station officially on air November 5th, and just in time for election results. Democratic incumbent President Franklin D. Roosevelt announced to serve an unprecedented unprecedented third term. A dedication 5 days later included a celebration, and the public joined in on the event. 84 years later, WFHR continues to be a treasured voice in the community and again celebrates on-air success at the same time as another important presidential election, this time in 2024. Join me in congratulating WFHR for 8 decades of broadcast excellence. I'm Terry Barr.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Senator Tammy Baldwin joined Governor Tim Walz on his tour of Wisconsin yesterday. At their stop in Stevens Point, Senator Baldwin pointed out the differences voters can expect of her work versus Eric Hovde in Congress.
But the stakes of this race are incredibly high. You know, Eric Hovde celebrated when the Dobbs decision came down overturning Roe v. Wade. He said he is 100% anti-choice. Meanwhile, I am leading the effort to restore Roe v. Wade through the Women's Health Protection Act, which I lead in the United States Senate.
Speaking with attendee Bob Precourt after the rally, he said voters should be motivated to make a stronger America.
But we seek to move forward into an age that I think holds more promise for everybody. With the prospect of unity, one of the main themes that the Democrats are advancing and emphasizing this time.
Today is the day to cast your ballot if you haven't done so already. Polls are open from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. Over one quarter of Wisconsin schools are seeking a referendum this fall. With more, here's Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska.
On Tuesday, Wisconsin voters in 121 school districts will be asked yes or no on referendum questions. Districts are seeking a total of over $4.2 billion from local taxpayers for operations and facility projects. State Superintendent Jill Underley says the number of referendums is proof that public education is underfunded in Wisconsin. In all four elections this year, school districts have asked for a total of nearly $6 billion. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
In our area, Antigo, Marshfield, and Pittsville all have referendums on the ballot. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Barbenheimer 2.0 is just around the corner with films Gladiator 2 and Wicked kicking off the holiday box office season in a couple weeks. However, last weekend's box office did not impress. The movie Here, starring Tom Hanks, Robin Wright, and directed by Robert Zemeckis, landed with a thud on opening weekend. Here did not review particularly well, and audience approval is hovering at around 60%. The film whiffed big time with only a $5 million opening weekend, which landed it in fifth place overall. Repeating as box office champ following its opening weekend is Venom: The Last Dance. The third and final chapter of DC's Venom franchise took in $26 million domestically. Rounding out the top five are The Wild Robot in second place, Smile 2 at number 3, and Conclave at number 4. Another disappointment at the box office was Liam Neeson's new action film Absolution, which finished in 12th place, barely cracking $1 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A dreary and soggy day today, with scattered showers and even a thunderstorm possible this afternoon. With the potential to become severe, we could see some gusty winds and a brief spin-up. Otherwise today, expect patchy fog, highs near 60, and breezy winds. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you, too, can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
We're not comfortable.
Believe it's fall already. Where did the summer go?
I know, it flies by faster every year.
Well, I suppose we better start checking off the fall to-do list before we know it. The snow.
Shh, don't say the S word.
Snow?
Yes.
We live in Wisconsin, honey. It's coming, but we have to get the furnace checked before fall. Remember that awful noise it made last year? Who should we call?
Your parents just had Tri-City Services install their new AC and said they did a great job. Let's call them.
Here, let me Google them. Hey, their website is calltricity.com. Easy to remember.
Call Tri-City Services now to get a free quote on a new heating system. Visit TriCity.com or call Tri-City Services at 715-423-5840 today to get a free quote on a new furnace and heat pump and get a free water heater before it gets too cold. Call TriCity.com.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the vote totals, give you updates, and have our news team from around the state join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome everybody to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, November 5th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff here. And today in part two, we're going to speak with some of our favorite people. We have the Southland County YMCA in. First, we have Tracy Vruwink with us. Tracy, always good to see you.
You as well.
Thanks for being here. And we brought a new friend. We have Chrissy Heath with us, a childcare worker over at our Y. Chrissy, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
I appreciate the time. Thank you. We haven't gotten a chance to break you in yet here, so appreciate you being here and talk about some of these events we have coming up. Looking forward to that. And we just want to start by thanking our good friends over at Tri-City Services. Connect with them for all your heating, air conditioning, and commercial refrigeration needs. We'll give you the information on how to do that in just a little bit, but a big thank you to Tri-City Services. And a huge thank you to our Southland County YMCA. You guys are so good at not only listening to the community, but giving the community, things to do and things to look forward to and being a true hub for our community. One of the things that we appreciate is the attention to things like gift of warmth. And I think that's a pretty great place to be able to start, Tracy.
Yep. So this started yesterday, actually, and it goes till November 11th. And we are collecting jackets, boots, gently used or brand new, hats, mittens, snow pants, pajamas, anything that can keep a child or an adult warm. You can drop them off in our childcare lobby or in our regular YMCA lobby. And we will drop them off at the Family Center on November 12th.
I'm a big Adidas fan, and I'm not a name brand guy, but I like Adidas a lot. And I remember my son was about, maybe a year old, and you're first starting to get shoes and stuff. I'm going to get my kid a pair of Adidas. I spent 30-some bucks on those shoes. Lasted a month.
Yep.
Like, you just grew out of them so quick before they were even really broken in.
Those are the kinds of things we're looking for.
Yeah, and that's just it. Those are the kind of things that we could really use. We know how quickly kids grow out of stuff and everything, and that stuff is usually gently used or what have you.
Absolutely.
So those are the kind of things we could use. Not so much the things that you wouldn't even wear. Not so much that. Keeping that in mind, because that just, and I bring that up not to sound like dismissive, but so you guys have a lot on your plate already. We don't need clothing and different things that aren't really going to be able to be used. We greatly appreciate this community coming together and bringing these kind of items. When it comes to bringing these items, where should we bring them, Tracy? How can we figure that out? You can drop them off
right at the front desk. There's a box in the lobby. And then in the child care, you'll have to push the buzzer to let us in. But we have a box in our lobby as well. And then we're just collecting everything. And then we'll drop them off at the Family Center when we get a collection.
You know, and I think it's noteworthy, too, that to people out there, the individuals that need these items are not necessarily what you might think in your head. They're your neighbors. They're your friends. They're your family. They're your coworkers.
Some of the kids in our programs.
Yeah. There's so many people out there that really use these items. And it's a great way to not only reuse these items and have them get some use out of them, but also know that you are doing that in your community. There are people, there are strangers out there walking around with the clothes that you were able to donate. And that's a feel-good. That's something that you can feel good on throughout the rest of the winter.
Absolutely.
And anything to keep us warm in winter helps. All those little things. It certainly goes.
If it ever snows.
Yeah, yes, of course.
But raincoats might be a thing.
It might maybe need more raincoats than winter jackets. We don't know. But we do know that Christmas is coming up quicker than we realize. And you guys were able to land a big get. Now, for us here at Midday Magazine, me and Pam have been trying for years to get Santa on the air, and when we haven't had luck with that, we're like, well, let's see if we can get the Grinch. You know, let's see if we can get with no luck, none. Have not been able to land them. You guys were able to land getting the Grinch to come for breakfast.
Absolutely. So on December 7th, that's the first Saturday, we are going to have breakfast with the Grinch from 8 to 11, and we will be in the Boys and Girls Club side of the YMCA. They've been kind enough to allow us to use
The area over the kitchen area?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we will have pancakes and sausage. We will have games. We'll have crafts. We can write letters to Santa, and we will drop them off and hope you'll get a response from Santa and, you know, make some of your dreams come true. Mm-hmm. The registration is online at swcymca.org, or you can call the front desk and register. The deadline for that is November 30th. The fee is $10 per YMCA member or Boys and Girls Club member and $15 per non-members. We will just gather, have a good time, have photos taken with the Grinch. Just have fun.
I see Cindy Lou Who is going to be there as well.
Yes,
that's pretty
cool.
Yes,
she will.
And these are not only it's fun, the pictures part and everything, especially for the parents. And kids, as you get older, these pictures will just really like stand out even more and more.
Oh, absolutely.
They, for a lot of reasons. All of them good. And it's a good experience and a fun one. And there's cookie decorating going on, too, it looks like. That's fun.
Yes,
that's a
cool
idea.
You can decorate your own cookie with 5 pounds of frosting if you want to.
Exactly. This is exactly what I would do.
Myself, too.
This is a fun one. And encourage people to mark their calendars for this Saturday, December 7th, 8 to 11. They will be having the breakfast with the Grinch. Be sure to make plans for that. It's going to be a fun event. We're looking forward to it. We'll be highlighting and talking about that more and more in our morning shows and different opportunities to make sure you guys get a good crowd. And the Grinch is a little bit happier that day.
Maybe. Absolutely. His heart will grow 3 sizes.
Nicely done. We got some other events coming up too that we wanted to touch on.
So we are starting our YMCA Youth Basketball League, and so if you want to sign up a team, we want you to get in there. We are looking for basketball referees. You can contact Baxter at the Y and he can hook you up with that. We generally have 2 to 4 games per night, Tuesdays and or Thursdays from January and February. We're also looking for lifeguards, lots of them. Mm-hmm. If you are interested in lifeguarding and helping other children learn how to swim and maybe teaching a class here and there, you can sign up for that. You can call in and talk to Marty. She can help you with that. And then, Chrissy, I'll let you talk about the youth sports that are coming.
Yeah, we got a lot of youth sports coming up, and I know how much this area loves these events. What do you got for us, Chrissy?
So we have micro sports. This program is for 3 to 5 year olds with parent participation required. Wednesdays and Thursdays from 4:30 to 5:15. And the cost with that is $25 for a member, $40 for a non-member.
Okay.
We also have pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
For boys and girls, they'll learn how to play pickleball through drills and games. For grades kindergarten through second, Tuesdays from 4:30 to 5:30. And grades 3 through 6, Tuesdays from 5:45 to 6:45. The cost with that is $35 per member and $50 for a non-member.
Hmm.
We have a one-day volleyball clinic. To come learn the fundamentals of volleyball, grades 3 through 6.
Oh.
And then we have a cornhole tournament. That one's passed.
Mm. Okay. Still a lot of different things going on in the area, a lot of sports going on, and looking forward to all of these. Not only do they give us an opportunity, the kids opportunity for to get out, and especially in the winter when there's just so few opportunities to get out and doing things, it gives them something to look forward to. Certainly is something, too, for adults out there, because we always could use good people for these and volunteers for these events to be able to put these on. And when it comes to those types of volunteers, Tracy, Chrissy, from what I've learned, learned and understood over the years, we're not looking necessarily for experts, you know, people that know every single thing about the sport. You don't have to be a vet in this stuff. It's helpful to know things, certainly.
It might be good to know how to actually play basketball.
Might not be a bad idea. But you don't have to necessarily be Michael Jordan. You don't have to be somebody that knows the game inside and out. Really, if you are willing, if you're wanting to work with kids, if you're wanting to do this kind of work, I mean, I would say that that's even more important than knowing the rules. And that's stuff that you can learn.
We're always looking for coaches. If you want to coach your own child in any of the sports, or you want to coach your own child in basketball, they're always looking for coaches. We're looking for the refs. You know, like I said, lifeguards, swim instructors, those kinds of things. It's a good idea to like water if you want to be a lifeguard. And to know how to swim yourself. But we will teach you that if you need to learn prior to the lifeguarding.
And that's it. Really, with whatever we're talking about with our why today, it comes down to that. They will work with you. Whatever it is that we're working with, if you are looking to volunteer and you only have so many hours or so many, your flexibility isn't what it is, maybe we'll find an area for you to be able to, a time frame that'll work with that. Coaching is the same type of thing. And certainly to the community as a whole, you guys knowing that the why is open for you. The why has so many different things available for you to be able to take in. I really feel like I feel very confident in saying anybody out there listening, there is something for you at the Y. Whatever it is that you're into, whatever you like, whatever age you are, there is something there for you. And I encourage you to reach out to the Y and find out more. SWCYMCA.org. Be sure to bookmark that webpage and follow them on social media. We'll have more of that a little bit later. One of the other things I wanted to talk with you guys about, and we're speaking with Tracy and Chrissy from the South Oconee YMCA. One thing in particular I wanted to make sure to mention that I always try to with our Y, and we're always encouraging more and more members. And there are people out there in our community that want to be a member but worry about price, worry about if they can afford it and some of those things. And I cannot encourage you enough to reach out to the Y and find out. The Y wants to work with our community. They got to keep the lights on. That's important, but it's not a business. We're talking about a nonprofit, and we're talking about a place that wants it more and more people. If you are curious, if you would like to see, and well, maybe I can be a member of the Y. Reach out, find out.
Anybody
they will work with
can
you.
Be a member.
Yeah,
anybody can be a member. We have a membership for all program. You just stop in, talk to the ladies at the front desk, and they'll be able to help you out. You might have to bring some proof of income to help them to decide, you know, how much of a discount we can give or where that falls. But anybody at the front desk can help you with that, and everyone is welcome. I mean, you need a place to, you know, just hang out because it's raining all day and you need a day pass. Just come in and do that. You're more than welcome.
And that's a great idea, too, if you're looking to just check things out. You haven't been to the Y before and you want to see what this is all about. What are they always talking about here and everything? You go and check it out yourself and see with that day pass. And I almost guarantee you make plans because you're going to be back.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It is one of those
places.
You're
going to find something to do.
Yeah. There really is something for everybody. I can say that very confidently. And when it comes to the events that are going on there, keep in mind the Y has an amazing staff, a very creative staff. But a lot of these ideas oftentimes come from guests and come from people that are coming to the Y and the community itself. So if you have thoughts, if there's a class that you think would be really good for the Y or a program that would be good or something like that, reach out to the Y and pitch your ideas. They'd love to hear them.
Yes, absolutely. I just want to just jump back for 1 second, James. We had our Halloween at the Y event this last Friday.
I wanted to know how that went.
On the 25th, and it was a great event. We had 867 people attend, which is a huge part of the community.
Wow.
We were able to donate 675 pounds of food to the Focus group, which is the Feeding Our Communities with United Services here in Wisconsin Rapids. And so I just want to say thank you to the community for being supportive of that event. It was a really great turnout, and I hope that everybody attended had a really good time.
Oh, it's so good to hear. I saw some great pictures. I saw some stuff on the Facebook page. It was really
fantastic
good.
Fantastic costumes.
It looked like a blast.
Yeah,
it looked like
good.
A really good time. I was actually going to ask to wrap up with that because I know that I'm a big Halloween guy. I love the opportunity for kids to have fun and wear their costumes out and everything. But the idea of attaching that, you could just have the event. But right. Something that our Y does that I appreciate so very much is using that opportunity to also not only help out those less fortunate, those that could really use that food, but also get another example for adults to show kids what it is to be an adult.
Absolutely.
All those little kids that attended with their parents and everything, they're there, they're having a good time. There's squirrel, probably, you know, yeah, right? They're all over the place.
I would say had half of the parents who came were in costumes.
That's awesome. Yeah. Good on them. So, good on them for
absolutely.
Doing that.
So everybody was dressing up. It was like, where? What was that I just saw? But there were a lot of really cool costumes.
So they're not just seeing mom and dad can have a good time. Mom and dad can be fun and silly too. But they're also seeing mom and dad or whoever their guardian is donating food and what it is to be a part of a community, what it is to be an adult and everything. So it's a great opportunity for that. And here they don't even see that. They don't even notice that. Maybe it's subconscious or whatever it is. But they're there to have a good time while also doing that. It's something our Y does very well, combining those worlds. I really do appreciate that. Chrissy, I was wondering if you wouldn't mind. I see that your focus is childcare. So you haven't been with us yet. When did you start at the Y?
So I have been at the Y for 10 years as a childcare teacher. And then recently in July, I became the associate childcare director.
Cool. Congratulations for one. And that's
thank you.
Cool. So this is something you've been doing for a long time. You have a passion for.
I do, yes.
Right on. We need more people like that in this, and that's really cool to hear. So, Chrissy, I'm curious, so what are some of the services you guys do over there?
So we do licensed childcare. We have several classrooms from infant through school age. We offer days of no school, so when school is not in session, we offer days of no school care for those school-agers.
That goes a long way in this community. We all, I don't have to get into childcare in this area and in the state, and people know how much that, and we need more and more of that. That's a huge asset to our community.
Thank you.
And being able to deal with a wide range of age of kids, that's not something everybody can do. I have a lot of friends that are teachers, and they teach a specific age for a reason like that. You know, I admire that. That's good. Does that also, I imagine that also, though, is part of what brings you to the job, just the different ages and the different things that come up. There are no repeats in your world.
Right.
Every day is a little bit different, I imagine. When it comes to those services, those things that you're doing when the kids are there, imagine coming up with a lot of different projects, some of that. That's an everyday thing, I'm sure.
Right. We do a lot of outside time. We do story time. We do lots of activities with them, arts and crafts, different games. Keeping them busy.
Giving them so much to do at the Y, too. I would imagine some of that is focusing them. Like, it's not so much they're going to have things to do. They're going to keep busy. But, it's hard for me to focus when I'm there sometimes. I can't imagine for them. So that's got to be a key part of this, too, I bet.
Yes.
The time change always makes things fun.
Oh, God, yeah, I can only imagine. I didn't even think of that. Oh, gosh, yeah, I bet.
Everybody's mad yesterday and today. Everybody's just mad.
Where is that hour? We were talking about this, too. For kids, it's got to be, because so many of them, especially young kids, are just trying to figure out what time is, let alone you tell, wait a minute, I lost an hour? I just figured out what an hour is.
Isn't my lunch here? I'm ready for a nap. Yeah,
That's absolutely. Great. Chrissy, thank you very much for that. I appreciate hearing some of that and everything. And certainly we will give people your information before we wrap up and how they can reach out to you. And Tracy, as we're wrapping up here, one thing that I did want to note as well about the Y is it is a great resource for all these different things and so many things we didn't even have time to talk about.
Absolutely.
I really cannot stress how much there is something for everybody there. But there's also, it's a great hub, whether, you know, in certain times of the year, renting Camp Alexander out is something that you can do.
Yep.
And I've been hearing more and more, it is becoming a hub for our birthday parties.
Yes.
You could have your birthday party at the Y.
Yep, we do. So we have.
Is there an age limit on that? Real quick. Is there?
No, you can have your birthday party there, James. It'd be
thank
fine.
You, Tracy. Thank you for that. Thank you. No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to
There is no age limit. You can have one if you're 1 or 100, whatever you want to do. We have Adventure Center parties where you can rent the Adventure Center, and then you get one of the rooms next to it to like have your cake and open presents and things. And then we have pool parties so they can swim and they can have that, and then they can go in the other room that comes with that, the kitchen, and they can open gifts and things like that in there. So yeah, birthday parties are all the time, and we have multiples of them on the weekends, so you just have to call the front desk and talk to Vicki, and she can help you take care of that.
And it sounds like something with the popularity of that, you want to get in on that. You want to get that
Absolutely.
Reservation in soon.
Yeah, you need to reserve ahead of time, yeah, because just, you know, hey, I need to do a birthday party next week. That might not work. It might work out, but I'm not going to guarantee that.
Yeah, you know, I don't want anybody to miss out on it, of course, but I think that's such a good problem to have. That's great to hear. That's going. We don't have enough places in our area like we used to when we were kids or anything to be able to host these things. It's a really cool idea for the Y, and really great for the community. It's another one of the extensions of things you guys do over there. For everything that I think anybody out there knows about your local YMCA, there are so many things that our local Southwood County YMCA does that I think are above and beyond, whether it's here, it's, you know, in other locations. Just really appreciate what you guys do so very much. And again, there's so much more that we haven't even gotten a chance to discuss.
There's things all over. Go to our website, swcymca.org, and you can just click on our webpage, and it will give you the many millions of things that are going on there. Times, pricing, what's free, what's not, what's included in your membership, anything. And if you have any questions, you can just call the front desk and they can absolutely help you out with anything.
And we is that where to go to send people for information for either of you? Just send them to the front desk there?
Yeah, the front desk will guide you to wherever you need to go.
That front desk number is 715-818-9622. That is 715-818-9622. You can find our Y at 601 West Grand Avenue. You can't miss it. You're going down the road. You're going to see that beautiful big building right away. And encourage you to attend. Encourage you to get on over there. Check out the Y, especially if you haven't done so before, and see all the great things that they have to offer to you and yours. And be a part of these events when they're coming up. Make plans for them and be a part of your Y. Support those that support us and support this community like our Southwood County YMCA does. Tracy, Chrissy, thank you so much for the time.
Yes, thank you. We appreciate it.
And a special big thank you shout out to our friends at Tri-City Services. Contact with them for all your heating, air conditioning, and commercial needs. You can reach them at 715-423-5840. That is 715-423-5840. Their Marshfield phone number, 715-387-4000. 387-4000. Reach out to them for all your needs. And remember their location, 3019 West Wisconsin 73, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you coming up at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Alba Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will discuss election results. We will discuss whether or not we have election results. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Liz Cheney, famous not Democrat, endorsed Kamala Harris for president.
I know that the most conservative of conservative values is fidelity to our Constitution.
Liz Cheney said that.
I tell you, I have never voted for a Democrat, but this year I am proudly casting my vote for Vice President Kamala Harris.
Patriotism above partisanship.
Listen to Rational Revolution with Mark Becker wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. In just a few hours, the wait begins for the election results. Donald Trump in Florida earlier.
I'm hearing states where I'm up by a lot, but they won't have a final number for a long time.
Republican Congressman Byron Donalds believes Trump will accept the results if he loses.
We've been consistent on this. As long as the election is fair and the rules are followed, then of course you accept the results.
Kamala Harris's running mate Tim Walz made one last campaign stop.
I want to say thank you to Pennsylvania, but thank you to folks across this country, wrap them their arms around our family, and I hope saw yourselves in us, middle-class folks who are just trying to do the right thing.
Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger was among many monitoring the election threats.
We've heard some threats that were of Russian origin, and so I don't know how to describe if that's viable. We don't think they are.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Cammy McCormick.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.